business.
Hello?
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Next Fan Up, the podcast by the fans for the fans. I'm Justin, the Sunday host slash Seahawks fan. Got a pretty exciting show this week. I'm not going to bury the lead. We're going to get right to it. We have a Titans fan. After years and years of toil and terror, the Titans finally have their man, somebody to represent them. Matt, welcome.
I am proud to be here, but also ashamed that it's taken us so long to find a Titans fan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We'll talk a little bit about that later. Of course, we have Rob, our draft expert. Now, finally, we've let him out of his film chamber to watch something other than College Kids. How's it going, Robert?
I'm doing well. My wife, by the way, super excited that I'm not stuck in a chamber watching draft videos and then spending our Sunday night talking about it for about 2 hours on our only day off together of the week.
Yeah, I'm surprised she even recognizes you. And of course, I'll call you my beast buddy, Monty. You and I are now joined via Marshawn Lynch. So how's it going, Monty?
It's going great. I'm just drinking a little Kentucky Straight for all my fellow mutters out there. And yeah, I'll definitely talk about beast mode anytime you're ready, Justin.
Oh, man. I had a hard time not making that the lead story today just because we're both on the show. But on today's show, we're going to talk a little bit of news. We're going to talk a little bit of Titans. If there is time left, we're going to have a little bit of fun. So it should be a quick, easy show, which, as is tradition, probably means we'll be here for the next 4.5 hours. Let's go ahead and get to it, though. Right off the bat, Rob, since we got you here, who the heck is the Bills general manager?
The Bills general manager really is Sean McDermott. However, they're doing all the interviews, all that fun stuff right now. Everyone is saying that his first name is escaping me, but Bean, the current assistant general manager of the Carolina Panthers, is the guy. Kind of one of those young up-and-comers, obviously has been through their system. A lot of people out there say that he was going to be kind of the protege to take over for Gettleman when he eventually leaves. I guess Gettleman's a little bit older. Carolina did give the Bills permission to interview him. And assuming the thought around the Buffalo media is that it's Bean's job to lose, that he's probably going to be the hire. So, you know, it would be for the general manager position, but in all honesty, it's the head coach there that's kind of running the show. But it's someone who he's worked with, someone who has a comfortable working relationship with, and the quicker they get it done, the quicker they can start building their scouting staff and start looking at all those fantastic quarterbacks in 2018.
Okay, so walk the other fans through this, because I'm not sure everybody follows the Bills GM situation as much as you do. I'm not sure anybody follows that situation as much as you do. But so, say I'm a random Bills fan, and, you know, the draft is over. I'm like, okay, you know, these guys did a great job. Let me check in on the on that GM and his scout staff. Give them some kudos. Can you walk us through what's happened in the past week there?
Okay, so here's how it kind of goes down. Everyone, you know, GMs and so forth, you know, their seasons kind of start and end right after the draft. Doug Whaley's been who's the assistant general manager for the Bills in 2010. When Buddy Nix retired, he took over in 2013. So his first draft essentially was the one that brought in EJ Manuel. So, you know, we started off on a great start. He really hasn't done that good of a job. He's done some things well, but other things, you know, he just hasn't done well. He's drafted from 2013 through 2016, which were all his drafts. He drafted 20 players, and none of them have made the Pro Bowl. He likes to make splashy moves, as evident by the Sammy Watkins deal, where he gave up a boatload to move up 5 picks to take a wide receiver who's a little bit injury prone and probably the most prolific wide receiver draft in the history of the NFL. So he kind of was able to shield off his job, you know, being taken from him When the new owner came and then when Rex Ryan came, he was able to stay through. But once they started looking for a new coach, he actually started the hiring process for McDermott. But somehow, once the Pegulas and McDermott talked, it started becoming, you know, then they brought on McDermott. It started becoming apparent that they were going to just completely gut the scouting staff, which they did. But you can't really release anyone, you know, or, you know, fire them from that side of the ball until after the draft. So that's why they waited till the, you know, the Sunday following.
Yeah, so it became basically the front office red wedding. It was a bloodbath. Let me ask you this, though. So, you know, one of the most high-profile players of recent memory in the Bills is Sammy Watkins. How do you feel about that pick a few years later? I know that, you know, they didn't pick up his option, as I recall. So what's that situation like?
I like Sammy Watkins. He is, when he's healthy, he's a talented receiver, probably one of the top 10 talented receivers in the league. That being said, his ankles are made of glass. He's had surgery back-to-back seasons on the same ankle. Kind of, you know, with the Bills declining that option, I think, you know, that's just a team protector, because if they were to sign him to that and he injures his ankle again, which has happened the past 2 years, they'd be on the hook for, I believe, $13.2 million because that is guaranteed to injury. So they would just be stuck paying it. They wouldn't be able to do anything about it. So now they have to, you know, he's in a contract year. So he's got to ball out. And if he wants to get paid, you know, he's going to have to deal with his ankle and prove that he's not an injury-prone guy. And the Bills at that point either have the option of franchising him, which will cost about $2 million more than what the fifth-year option would have been, or they could sign him to a long-term deal, or they can let him walk. I think he's a good receiver. I just, you know, the injuries are just, it's quite a bit. He's been injured quite a bit the past couple years. So, you know, it's something you have to watch for.
That is depressing. Monty, can you cheer me up with a quick Marshawn Lynch fact?
Yeah, definitely. Rumor on the interweb is that Marshawn Lynch is reported to the Raiders camp in great shape. And apparently he's doing 200 push-ups every morning at 6:43.
Perfect. So, we talk a lot about my GM, John Schneider. We talk a lot about Reggie McKenzie, what a great job he's done. Obviously, we've talked about what's going on in Bills country. So, Matt, I don't think anybody knows who your GM is or if he's doing a good job or not. is he the same guy who picked Mariota? If so, I like him. So who's running the show there?
This is John Robinson. He came from the Patriots line into the Buccaneers line and then came to Tennessee, and really has done a pretty good job since he's gotten here. Kind of savvy in the trading department. You know, he made the trade last year for DeMarco Murray. Didn't give up a whole lot to get him. I think they moved down 15 spots in the second round or something. And that obviously turned out to be a pretty good move for them. He's always moving up and around and everything. It's kind of a little bit disappointing this year in the draft. I kind of expected him to move back in the first round with one of those picks and try to pick up some other draft capital maybe in the second round. They had traded away their second round pick last year, but he you know, obviously took Corey Davis at 105, and then they jumped up and took Dore Jackson there at 118, no trade backs, and didn't have another pick till the third round. So all in all, he's doing a much better job than the guy that held the chair before him. Will remains to be seen how this year's draft class works out.
Got it. And that is exactly the sort of thing we've been missing, because I don't think any of us could have answered that question like that. So, Matt, that's awesome. Let's go ahead and turn to Smokin' Jay Cutler, quarterback extraordinaire, broadcaster extraordinaire. Monty, let's go ahead and start off with you on this one. Good move, bad move? Good move for nobody to sign him? What's your thoughts on this?
I guess, I mean, I know Jay Cutler is probably, what, 500, give or take, with his win-loss record as his career, but I never thought he was the worst quarterback in the league. I really think he probably just went to the broadcast booth to try to get away from Neil, our Redskins super fan, who's trying to get that squeaky bum time trending on Twitter with all those photos he has of Jay Cutler. So he's probably just trying to get a little backing from the CBS legal team, which is really what I think is driving that move. But yeah, I guess I was kind of surprised nobody made an offer on Jay Cutler. 1 year kind of rental deal for the average rate of a starting quarterback.
Rob, you need a quarterback, don't you? You don't want smoking Jay?
No. We had Kyle Orton. That's as much a Chicago quarterback as we need. Tyrod Taylor's better than Jay Cutler at this point in their career. So I'm perfectly happy with our current mediocre quarterback as opposed to someone else's mediocre quarterback.
I love that your first four words were no. That's perfect. What about you, Matt? I know you've got a guy, but doesn't Jay Cutler seem like the perfect mentor to a young Marcus Mariota?
You know, when Jay Cutler came out, I desperately wanted the Titans to draft him. That same year, they drafted one Vince Young, and it was misery ever since. But since then, as I watched Jay Cutler play, you know, it's you see those memes on Facebook and Twitter where somebody has put in a cigarette in his mouth while he's standing on the sidelines, and he just looks absolutely miserable. I'm interested to see how he does as a broadcaster because he just looks like he hates life most of the time when you see him.
So Joe Buck then. Yeah, I mean, I definitely get it. I think I'm probably as big a Jay Cutler apologist as you're going to find, though. He's had a couple of top 12 seasons. I think back to his first year with Adam Gase in Chicago. He was really effective that year. He's a guy who, I don't know, I don't know if he's never quite been in the right situation, but, and maybe I just get sucked into that arm talent because he probably has as talented an arm as anybody in the entire National Football League. I mean, his ability to throw with authority from weird platforms, bad angles, not always accurate, oftentimes directly into the hands of opponents. But, you know, he's a guy who I would call him mediocre. But I just feel like he could have been in the right situation, could have been good. Am I crazy? Anybody want to either call me out for being nuts or help me out here?
He had his moments.
Please, Matt, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think he's definitely, if you put him in the NFL right now, he's one of the best 32 quarterbacks there, just based on arm talent and experience. You just wonder if it's a locker room thing or what it is, because he seemed like he didn't even get a sniff when it came to free agency.
Yeah, I mean, that surprised me. Seems like, you know, the Texans or the Jets could have kicked the tires on him. What were you going to say, Rob?
Absolutely.
For me, he had his moments. I thought when he had Gase, Adam Gase with him as his OC, I thought he played, you know, pretty well. But, you know, there's a certain, you know, there are teams that, you know, appreciate culture in the NFL. And unfortunately for him, he's got a reputation for being kind of a bad culture guy. So, you know, it's kind of tough, I think, this year, you know, the Jets and Texans, since he's retired, there were reports out. He was actually talking to the Texans, but couldn't work out anything. Very briefly talked to the Jets as well, but I don't think that was a fix. They ended up going and getting Josh McCown. Apparently they like that mediocre player better than him as well. You know, so I think it's tough when you're a veteran who's known as a bad culture guy, because teams that are young aren't necessarily going to look your way because they don't want you to infect maybe that up, you know, the rookies kind of coming in and the younger guys as you're trying to build up.
Speaking of Jay Cutler and his soulmate, his BFF, his one true love, Brandon Marshall, who I know they've been separated for a while, but I think we can all agree all of their best years really came together in multiple places, which I always thought was interesting. Brandon Marshall, I guess, made the news because he's talking about looking to retire in 2 years. So, Matt, let's start off with you. Do you think he'll stick to retiring in 2 years? Do you think he'll get the urge to play longer? Or do you think the league will retire him before those 2 years?
I think with the exception of Calvin Johnson and just a handful of other wide receivers out there, they play until they just can't play anymore. We had Andre Johnson do that last season with the Titans. He played until it was just obvious he couldn't do it anymore, and he just hung up his cleats in the middle of the season. I think Brandon Marshall, if he feasibly could play and be at a high level for 5 more years, I think he would do it. But, you know, Father Time catches up with everybody. He's just going to, at some point, he's going to walk out there and it's going to be obvious. And maybe it's in 2 years, maybe it's in a year, maybe it's in 3 years. I think he quits whenever he just can't do it anymore.
In terms of proximity, Rob, you're probably closest to him. Well, I mean, you're not there, but the team you follow is. Does he still look to you like he's got it?
I think 2 years ago, you would say absolutely, because that Jets offense was humming. That, you know, the Amish rifle throwing him the ball, him and Decker. Last year, I think you can't, you know, you could say his numbers obviously were down, but I mean, they were not a good football team last year, and they had quarterback injuries. It looked like Fitzpatrick had regressed quite a bit. So, you know, he's catching passes from Bryce Petty, you know, towards the end of the year. I mean, it's tough to, you know, really do. So I think he still does have talent. I think he's going to an offense where he's not going to be the focal point, and it's going to be real fun to watch in New York, you know, as long as they can somehow get that offensive line to hold up. They got so many weapons in New York. Odell Beckham, him, Sterling Shepard, right in the slot. They drafted Evan Engram to play tight end, who's probably the best receiving tight end that came out of the draft this year as far as an immediate help. And they don't really have too much of a running game, so they're going to throw the ball a lot. So I think he's going to be a good fit there. 2 years sounds about right. Keep in mind, he already has an exit strategy because he's, I believe it's with Inside the NFL. He still, you know, works with them and does kind of weekly spots with them. So, I mean, he's in the media to a certain degree already.
Yeah, what do you say, Monty?
I mean, good for him. I think a lot of pro athletes don't get the option to choose when to retire. I think the phone just stops ringing, you know, kind of like Jay Cutler. He just didn't get any offers.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Here's a guy who definitely, he's got a plan. He's been doing broadcasting. I'm sure that influenced his decision to continue working in New York. And I do like him as an analyst. I think he's an engaging personality. And, you know, he's got great stories as far as, you know, his struggles with some personal issues in his career and things like that. So, you know, I wish him well. I've always liked him. I always thought he was a really interesting player. There was one point where the Seahawks tried really, really hard to get him. This was pre-Miami. And I was bummed that we didn't end up landing him. But I guess he's the one of the ones that got away. Speaking of ones that got away, Monty, I need a beast mode fact.
Yeah, beast mode comes from a football family. His uncle, Lorenzo, played in the NFL for 11 years. He's also had a cousin in the NFL named Robert Jordan, who played for the Niners for a little while. He's also cousins with one Jamarcus Russell.
Oh, man. I'm going to assume they're not putting that on the program.
It's on the internet. It's got to be true.
Oh, boy. That's unfortunate. Maybe we'll bury that fact. All right, so that's pretty much it for the news. Right now, what I'd like to do, guys, is gang up on the new guy, as we are wont to do in our mean girl ways. So, Matt, you are the Titans super fan. Want to ask you a few questions. Let's just start off. How did you become a Titans fan?
Well, I'm born and raised in Tennessee, and I've always felt like you should follow the team that you geographically represent. You know, I can understand it if you know, were born in another state, moved somewhere else, and you want to claim your home state or whatever. But my home state and my current state is Tennessee, and so when the Titans moved here from Houston, the Oilers just took up with them immediately and began to watch, and then got into fantasy football and got into watching football even more. The Titans were always on, being a local team and whatnot, and just really enjoyed watching Steve McNair play and his kind of ability to be able to go out there and improvise and make it happen, sometimes pretty, sometimes ugly. But he was able to bring some wins out and just really enjoyed watching Javon Curse, the freak, go out there and do his thing. and really enjoyed it when they came to town, and have been a fan ever since.
So would that be the, you know, I think every super fan, or even every fan, if you've been following a team for a long time, there's certain, like, groups, you know, certain teams, for me, for example, you know, I think a lot about, like, those 2004, 2005 Seahawks and this current crop. Can't say that I, you know, I'm fondly looking back on the 2010 Seahawks all that much. So is when you think of, about the Titans, is that the group, that Steve McNair group, are those kind of your, the sort of the ones that, that you point to as the ones that you remember most fondly?
Steve McNair was one of them. To be honest, you know, the history has changed, I guess, since this happened, but when Chris Johnson broke the 2,000-yard barrier, that was kind of awesome to be a Titan to do that, and to be kind of in the manner he did it, just these random jailbreak kind of plays where he would, you know, run 10 times for 2 yards and then all of a sudden break a 75-yard run. It just seemed like he did that every game, and it was just really an exciting time to be a Titans fan, even though it was also during the Jeff Fisher era, which was rarely exciting. But yeah, I'd say mostly Steve McNair, Eddie George, and Javon Curse, kind of in their days, were kind of the glory days for me.
Do you feel any kind of ownership to the Oilers?
Not really. That was kind of not pre-football fan. I was more of a college football fan before the Titans came to town. Followed the Tennessee Volunteers also, and but when the Titans came to town, my allegiance slowly began to switch more toward the NFL, and continues to shift that way.
So what do you think about this current group, who you have right now, you know, this quote-unquote exotic smash-mouth offense, your young quarterback, you know, this team who I think took a big step forward last year? How do you feel about where they are now and where they're going?
You know, part of me really likes the direction they're going, and part of me, I don't know if it's just a pessimistic Titans fan after years of kind of being lackluster, but I think the things that I'm excited about are Marcus Mariota excites me. I don't think he's the best quarterback in the league, but I think behind a good offensive line with a good running game, that opens some things up for him. I love the fact that they went out and got Corey Davis this offseason, but I'm a little disappointed that they didn't do something in the free agency period as far as the receivers go. I mean, I think when it comes down to it, if you have a weakness like the Titans have at receiver, you kind of have to take several shots at it and hope that one of them pans out that season. You know, kind of pushed all their chips into the middle of the table for Corey Davis, and in a lesser respect, Tywan Taylor in the third round. Hopefully it works out. The thing that, you know, I'm still not sure about is their secondary. They really didn't do much to address it other than Adoree Jackson in the first round. I'm not sure I think he's a good player. I'm just not sure he's completely going to fix the problem. Logan Ryan, they went out and got him. You know, I don't know that he's a number one guy. It seems like they're missing something in the secondary that could be vital. And going back to when they hired Mike Mularkey as head coach, I'm still not sold on him as a winner, even though they went, you know, 9-7 last year. You know, Mularkey, when they hired him, I just wondered what in the world were they doing. You know, you go from Jeff Fisher, who's got an unexciting, lackluster record. You go to Mike Munchak, who had no head coaching experience and then was a very lackluster coach. You go from him to Ken Whisenhunt, who it was pitiful, and then you go to Mularkey, who had a career, I think it was 16-35 record as a head coach. You know, just seems like one unimpressive hire after another at head coach, and I hope that I'm wrong. We'll see this year if last year was a fluke or if it's a sign of good things to come.
Matt, this is Monty. Did I hear that right? You didn't follow the Houston Oilers when they relocated to Tennessee? You kind of started becoming a fan with the Music City Miracle?
Yeah, when they came to Tennessee, that's when I began being a Titans fan, and really brought me into the NFL world a little bit more as well.
I guess I got one more question then. So since you're new to the podcast, I believe the Raiders open up in Tennessee in week one in September. I know it's a ways off, but we might have to get a bet on the books so that one of us has to do something embarrassing on the, one of the podcasts in week two. So keep that in mind.
I'm all for a good bet. Matter of fact, I lost one, but Seahawks super fan will enjoy this maybe. I had a fitness friend that bet me this past year in the playoffs that the Falcons would beat the Seahawks, and I'm a closet fan of the Seahawks somewhat. I just like the way they do business. And we made a bet, and he said whoever lost had to do as many burpees as was the combined score of the game. And I thought, there's no way the Seahawks are losing this one. I'll take that bet. And it just happened to end up being an extremely high score. I had to do, I think it was close to 60 burpees. It was misery.
Have we got video? Have we got video of this? Can we put this up on the website?
I've got video somewhere. I can dig that up if you want it.
I think the thing that I love, other than the fact that you're a closet Seahawks fan, I thought there was something smart about you, is the fact that Monty is always looking to make these like silly, embarrassing bets. And in my experience, he has lost every single one of them involved in.
Shut your mouth.
Okay, well, so let me ask you this. Super fans typically have like an emergency auxiliary backup team that they kind of root for. And there's at least one or two teams that you just can't stand. So who is on your hate list?
On the hate list, for some reason, I just really have never cared for the Chargers as a team. Every time I see Philip Rivers in an interview, he just comes across, I don't know, smug or something about him just bugs me.
It just feels like you're trying to butter up the people on this show. You got the closet Seahawks fan. You hate the Chargers. I mean, you know I like that. So I think I'm all in on Superfan Matt.
And I'll say for the Chargers, this is bringing in my love for fantasy football. But I went all in on Philip Rivers 1 year in fantasy football, and it just happened to be the year that he started to suck all of a sudden and just totally ruined my team 1 year. And then the next year, I was totally out on him, and he had a great year. It just seemed like every time I was for him, he tried to ruin me. And when I went against him, he tried to ruin me. So I just have a hard time with the Chargers.
So you surprised me. You didn't immediately go to your division rivals on your list of teams you hate. I mean, most of us, you know, Monty hates the Broncos. I hate the 49ers. I guarantee you, Robert hates the Patriots. You don't go right to the Colts, the Texans?
To be fair, everybody hates Philip Rivers other than Kenneth. I mean, and even Kenneth is starting to sour on him. So, I mean, that's just, he's a human being. He watches television and he hates, you know, Philip Rivers. That's totally justifiable.
Well, bringing in the college football game, I'm down here in SEC country, and so the way it kind of works is you root for your team, and then you root for everybody in the SEC unless they're playing your team. And I guess I've brought that over into the NFL, where I root for my team, and then anytime they're not playing my team, I root for everybody in their division. So I would root for the Texans, Colts, or Jaguars over anybody, just about, except for the Titans.
So I don't know the timeline of when Tennessee moved over, but were you a Peyton Manning fan before he moved over? Were you a Colts fan?
Peyton Manning is like royalty in Tennessee. If he came to Tennessee and the Pope came to Tennessee, I think more people would go to see Peyton Manning. I did go to see Peyton play in college a time or two, but the timing that the Titans came and Peyton went pro was close. So kind of a Colts fan, Broncos fan, pretty much wherever Peyton went, there were going to be lots of fans. I think more Broncos fans in Tennessee than there are Titans fans because of that. More Colts fans than Titans fans because of that.
So, Rob, well we got you on here. We talked a little bit about kind of the future of the Titans. So I want to ask you, since you're our draft expert and we have you on here, what do you think of their draft? They went with Corey Davis, Adoree Jackson, with their first couple of picks. Taywan Taylor, did they do right? Did they grab a bunch of bums?
That's the name right there. I like their draft. I thought they got Adoree Jackson a little too early. You know, he talked about trading down. I thought they could have traded down a little bit to get him. I love Corey Davis. I think he's going to fit great. But I'll tell you what, when you tell he's talking about free agency receivers, I think they lucked out in getting Taywan Taylor, the kid out of Western Kentucky. They got him in the third round. And Daniel Jeremiah, who's, you know, pretty good at this, his comp for him, you'll like to hear this, is Derek Mason. You know, he's a real, has a real good toughness to him. He can play inside and outside. He's going to fit in that offense well. And I think now they kind of have some fun little weapons, you know, as far as the passing game goes, because you have these two guys. I like Tajae Sharpe probably more than most people do, but I think he's kind of ascending a little bit, and he'll be, you know, as he gets used to the NFL game coming from Massachusetts, I think he will get, you know, get better. So I think if, you know, I loved what they did in the draft, because I think they got value in the third round with a receiver, and now they can kind of, you know, build off, you know, those two guys, and, you know, get something going, get some chemistry going with the quarterback.
Well, there you go. So that is Matt, our new Titans fan. I got to be honest, I'm really excited to have you. I feel like there's been a hole there for a while. I think all of us here are fans of Marcus Mariota, and, you know, I'm just excited by the fact that we can actually talk Titans with depth, with somebody other than your division rivals who aren't as charitable to their mates as you are. All right, so up next, since we've got a little bit of spare time, this is something that we've teased in the past. I want to just have a little bit of fun in games anytime we've got a couple of spare minutes, as long as I'm not putting us over that hour mark. Pod Vader will not yell at me, so here's the name of the game today, guys. I'll be keeping score. We're gonna have a winner. I'm gonna go through a couple of years in recent memory. I'm gonna name two players for each one of you, and I want you to tell me who finished the year with more rushing yards. All right. So I won't be picking the leader from each year unless it's really close. All right. So you guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
All right, Matt. Since you're the new guy, we're gonna start off with you. All right. So.
Okay.
Right now, we're looking at 2013, all right?
Okay.
So who finished with more rushing yards in 2013? Jamaal Charles or Alfred Morris?
Hmm. 2013. Can't remember what year it was that Jamaal Charles tore his ACL.
Every year.
I will just promise you guys right now, I'm not going to pull any trick ones. I'm not going to be... know who had more rushing yards, AP or Tom Brady, and it's going to be, you know, a year AP was, you know, suspended for the entire year or something.
Right.
Although that kid's probably still AP because Tom Brady usually has like negative yards. Anyway, is it going to be Alfred Morris or Jamaal Charles for 2013?
My rationale would be that Jamaal Charles would probably have more total yards, but I'm going to say Alfred Morris had more rushing yards.
In 2013, Alfred Morris had 1,275 yards. Jamaal Charles with 1,287. Oh. Sorry, no points for you, Matt. All right, we're going to kick it over to Monty. We're going to stick with the same year, just because I want to kind of keep to our Beast Mode theme. Who had
Marshawn Lynch? Marshawn Lynch.
All right, who had more yards in 2013? All right, Adrian Peterson or Marshawn Lynch?
Gotta go Beast Mode all day.
Marshawn Lynch, 1,257 yards. Adrian Peterson, 1,266 yards. Sorry, Monty.
Dirty.
I did do you dirty. All right, Rob, you're up next. Keeping in 2013, Eddie Lacy or Ryan Matthews?
This is Eddie Lacy before he got fat. I'm taking Eddie Lacy.
And you, that was a heck of a guess. Eddie Lacy came in with 1,178 yards, but this is the one year where Ryan Matthews
came
out at 1,255 yards. All right.
Never trust a Charger.
This might be a harder game than I thought. All right, we're going to make it a little bit more recent, move up to 2014, going back to you, Matt. All right. Who had more yards in 2014? Le'Veon Bell, LeSean McCoy. You be quiet, Robert.
I'm going to go with Le'Veon Bell here.
You are on the board. Ding, 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 ding. So, LeSean McCoy, 1,319 yards. Le'Veon Bell, 1,361. All yes. Right, Monty, you are up next. So, 2014. Arian Foster or Justin Forsett?
Alexa, who is Justin Forsett? No, sorry, I'm going to go with Arian Foster on this one. He had a few good years there.
That is cold-blooded. Arian Foster checked in with 1,246 yards. Justin Forsett just announced his retirement, by the way. Former Seahawk. Anyway, Arian Foster, so I'm surprised you're not looking to pick him up. Arian Foster with 1,246 yards. Justin Forsett with 1,266 yards. Sorry, Monty. Another goose egg for you. All right,
I'm
Robert.
Going with the dot.
You ready?
Ready.
All right. Again, we're talking 2014. Frank Gore, Jeremy Hill.
Frank Gore or Jeremy Hill? Was that the year? Was that the year Jeremy Hill was good? He had like one good year. Let's go with Jeremy Hill.
All right. In 2014, Frank Gore ran for 1,106 yards. Jeremy Hill ran for 1,124 yards. Rob is on the board. So, quick hint, I guess I am picking guys who were fairly close together. I'm not trying to. Doing anything too shifty there. All right, we're going to make it a little bit more recent, 2015. All right? Going to start off with you, Matt. Who finished with more yards in 2015? Matt Forte or D'Angelo Williams?
Let's see. I'm going to go with Matt Forte.
Matt Forte finished the year with 898 yards. D'Angelo Williams with 907 yards. Sorry, Matt. All right, we're going to move on to you, Monty. And here's a name you're going to love. Darren McFadden or Chris Ivory?
Darren McFadden or win, lose, or draw, I'm going with Darren McFadden every time.
All right, you are on the board. That was his first year in Dallas behind that all-world offensive line. And he finished fourth in the league with over 1,000 yards rushing. All right, Rob. Doug Martin or Todd Gurley?
I'm going to go.
Was that the year that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers played against the Raiders in Oakland?
No. No, I remember that year. I was blackout drunk at a bar watching that game. He was on my fantasy football team. Glorious.
Blackout drunk means something different to you than it means to me.
Well,
I wouldn't remember.
I was getting there. Things were getting hazy, but I knew my fantasy football team was doing good. I'm going to go with Gurley. I'm going with Gurley.
All right. So in 2015, Todd Gurley checked in with 1,106 yards. Doug Martin, 1,402 yards.
Yeah, I think 300 yards came against the Raiders that year.
Yeah, I think it's exactly the one you're thinking of. All right, so we are tied.
I thought that was the year before. Ugh, gross.
We are tied 1-1 as we go into our final round. And this is going to be 2016, so this is going to be fairly recent. All right? All right, so try not to be too far in the weeds. All right, Matt, we're going to start off with you.
Okay.
All right, who finished with more yards? Le'Veon Bell or Jay Ajayi?
Jay Ajayi.
Oh, you got it. Le'Veon Bell checked in with 1,268 yards. Jay Ajayi took him three more games to do it, but he beat him by 4 yards, 1,272.
So that was all good, right, when the host of the game is mad when you get the answer right.
All right. All right, Monty, just for that, I'm going to give you a hard one.
Beast mode.
Shut up. He didn't play. Okay. LeGarrette Blount or David Johnson?
I think LeGarrette Blount had one of those years, didn't he? Last year he surprised everyone. I'd go with Blount.
LeGarrette Blount checked in with 1,161 yards. David Johnson, 1,239. Eat it, Monty. All right, Rob. to force a tiebreaker, who ran for more yards last year? DeMarco Murray or Jordan Howard?
DeMarco Murray.
DeMarco Murray checked in with 1,287 yards. Jordan Howard, 1,313 yards.
Ooh. Oh, I'm bad at stats.
Oh, man. And so...
stats are for losers, Rob.
that's a well-established fact of the show. So congratulations, Matt. Monty, tell him what he wins.
You win another Marshawn Lynch fact. Apparently, when Marshawn was drafted to Buffalo, he had no idea that it was not in the outskirts of New York City. When the plane landed, he looked around and was pretty disappointed. He said all he saw was slush.
Oh, that is amazing. Monty, we have to keep this going on future shows. We have to. Oh, man, that was good stuff. All right, well, that's going to do it for a easygoing Sunday edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. Matt, welcome. We are so glad to have you. Sounds like you're going to fit in great. If we wanted to find you on Twitter, do you have a Twitter?
I'm on Twitter at Titan Chaps.
All right, at Titan Chaps. Monty, where would we find you?
At Montsadius on all of your favorite internet websites.
Perfect. So find Montsadius on Grindr. All right, Robert, you're up next. Where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Buffalo_Sauced.
Wonderful. And you can find me at my last name. That's at KOREIS. Any final words from you, Matt, before we go?
Just thankful to be a part of the Next Fan Up community. Look forward to future bets with Oakland for who has to do something silly, and more of these Marshawn Lynch facts. This is awesome.
Terrific. How about you, Monty?
No, man. It's always a pleasure. Welcome to the team, Matt. Good to have a Titans fan.
And you, Robert?
Yeah, same sentiments. Just thankful to finally have a Titans fan. It seems like them and the Detroit Lions are the ones teams that we can't get anyone for. So it's thankful to looks like finally have someone who will stick around with us for a while.
And with that, we're going to end the show. There you have it.
Next week will be next week. Today I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go back home and hang out.